All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Bellied Up Podcast. I'm here, Miles, you betcha guy, here with Charlie Behrens. Behrens, how you feeling? How's that shoulder, by the way?
Oh, you know.
How long did so for those who don't know,
ice it after.
Yeah. You know? For those that don't know, Charlie Behrens threw out the first pitch at a Milwaukee Brewers game.
He sure did.
I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah.
You got a little more juice than I thought you had.
Yeah. See, I had more juice than I thought I had too.
Was the adrenaline pumping or
there
what?
Was some, honestly, I kind of blacked out on actually thinking, and like before I knew it, the pitch was over. You know, I remember walking up, but the pitch was over. It was almost like an out of body experience where spirit, almost an angel, came in and helped me get the ball over the plate.
And then everyone in the crowd stood up and they started flapping their arms like this, like they had wings too.
Exactly.
Huh.
And ironically, the Brewers were playing the Angels in that game.
This is like a plot to a movie.
We should do it. And we should call it Brewers in the Outfield.
Well, maybe Angels on the Mound. Well, I guess it is Brewers.
Yeah.
We'll workshop it. We'll workshop it.
That sounds good. But I was surprised. I was just a bit outside, to quote the great Bob Uecker.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I wasn't going to bring that up, but since you did, you missed.
I would have hit some kneecaps for a left-handed batter.
Yeah. But at least you got it to the plate.
Oh,
There's a lot of people who get in your shoes and they just don't get it there.
And every single person in the moments leading up, the days leading up, the week leading up, the hours, was saying, don't put it in the dirt.
Yeah,
it's better to not go. Better to go wild, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, I was kind of thinking about that. And so I think what you saw was my attempt to go wild.
Yeah.
And what happened is it went close to over the plate.
He caught it though, didn't he?
He caught it. Yeah.
Then you're good.
He almost had to pull a muscle to catch it, which would have been bad because that's our left fielder.
Yeah. Well, speaking of pulling a muscle, did they at least let you warm up a little bit or no?
No. No, they have you going cold. The day before, I went with my brother and Bill Doucette. We went over to the park and threw some balls. I was throwing at my brother, you know, and I hurt his hand.
Okay, so, not to brag.
You know, only because he caught in the palm. You know, when you catch in the palm,
just it hurts. Straight on the
he's
palm.
Like,
hurts so bad. Why don't they put more padding on the palm?
I don't, because you're not supposed to catch it there.
I suppose.
Yeah, that's why. But no, I was really
did
happy
you
with it.
Did you just to get a gauge what kind of heat you'd be throwing? Did you happen to go out on maybe like a gravel road or construction road area, construction zone, and find one of those speed things on the side and then
awesome.
Wind up and pitch it
toward a police checkpoint kind
of? If I ever do that, which I plan on doing at some point in my life, it's on my bucket list to do that. No, like the construction, like slow down signs, you know?
Do those actually, could those measure a baseball?
I don't know, but because of the one movie where he does that and it says 72 on there, he thinks he lost his fastball. And then as he's walking back, it blinks and the 9 comes into play.
What was that movie? What was that movie?
The Rookie, maybe?
Rookie of the Year?
No. Rookie of the Year is
the
kid.
Rookie. The Rookie.
Yeah, it's with Dennis Quaid.
I forgot about that.
So I always make sure that if I'm going to throw a pitch past that, I give it a good full 5 minutes just in case a 9 flashes instead of just the 72.
Do you think, now for me, it's easy because Milwaukee, we got the Brewers. Mm-hmm. Fargo, What do you guys got going, cooking baseball wise?
Well,
there?
I'm probably gonna have to take a road trip. To be honest.
Twins game.
Either a Twins game, maybe down to STL for a pitch. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to Chicago though. I can tell you.
Thank
that.
You. Yeah. That's what I was getting.
No,
to.
It's gonna be either MSP or STL, just short for Minneapolis, St. Paul, and St. Louis.
Yeah. Thank you. Is that? Were you a fan of any particular baseball team growing up?
We watched the Twins. My dad's family is pretty big Twins fans. I just never watched baseball. I liked playing it more than I liked watching it.
Were you good?
I pitched. I was a pitcher.
Oh, wow.
But I quit in like ninth grade because I couldn't hit anything.
Okay.
And they wouldn't let me play catcher when I wasn't pitching because I'm left-handed. So I don't know what the people gatekeeping who can catch based off of what hand you throw with is kind of bullshit, honestly. Yeah. And that's a hill I'll die on.
Yeah, and honestly, I think it's, you know, I was a catcher. Not to rub it in, but I was a catcher. Yeah,
thanks. Yeah. I'd love to put the gear on, get behind the plate. See, I'm a physical contact guy. That's why I like football. So if I could get in the dirt and have balls bouncing off my chest, that just was very appealing to me. I think I would have been a good goalie as well in hockey, or I would have been a great scorer. So either way. But I had to play basketball where you get tick-tacky fouls all the time. But this is enough about me. Let's go back to the pitch.
No, I'd like to talk more about your athletic prowess.
No. Your whole family
was there.
You're
looking good, by the way.
Thank you.
You've really been working.
Your whole family was at the pitch, I saw.
Yeah, my whole family. Grandma was there.
Here's the thing. So I know what my family would do if I pitched it and I missed left.
Yeah.
What did they say to you afterwards? Was it all, Charlie, that was so awesome?
Oh, or no.
Was it like
roasted immediately?
Yeah, yep.
Absolutely immediately. Everyone was just a bit outside. I got texts from my uncles being like, don't quit your day job, you bastard.
A lot of Yeah, that's why you couldn't make the JV team in high school and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's why I didn't even go out for it. My baseball career ended in about seventh grade. I just honestly, I was a good batter. And then I got hit one too much. I would always take the hit. I would take the hit and walk. And then one time I got hit too hard. And I couldn't sit in the box. I became a scaredy cat after getting that hit.
Yeah. Baseball yips, really.
Well, it was. Literally couldn't stand that because I pride myself on taking the ball and walking. And then I think I got hit in the head or something. And then it didn't hurt. It didn't hurt until that point.
Yeah.
Once the kids actually could throw, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's what hard. That's why I quit baseball as soon as the ball started curving. It's like now I already have a tough enough time when it's going straight, judging the speed, you know, change up fastball. And now you're telling me it's going to look like it's going to hit me in the face, but then it's going to curve and be a strike. I'm out. Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah. That's terrifying.
But I'm glad that you got to do that. That looked like it was fun. Would have been fun to be invited with the rest of your family.
You know what? I even said, let's shoot the bellied up podcast in Milwaukee.
I had a wedding in here in Minneapolis.
And then I would have put the pieces together to invite you to the game.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to steal the show from you. So I'm
that's
glad
true.
That
if
I
you would have showed up, then.
Yeah, and then I would have chugged a beer on the Jumbotron. Everyone would have forgot about Barron's ball one.
We almost went to a Brewers game once, Miles, you and me.
Yeah, I got sick.
Yeah, found out he had COVID in my living room after spending two podcasts.
You know what it felt like?
And two sketches just sneezing on me. He was sick as hell. I was like, are you okay? Do you have COVID? He's like, no, I'm fine. Everyone's just been sick. You know?
You know what it felt like? Once we found out that I had gotten COVID, it felt like the next morning after a one-night stand, you know, where you're like, well, that was fun, but I got to go now. You know, what was your name again? You know, it's like, it was kind of that type of energy, wasn't it?
And then
it?
You're like, I should really go get tested. Yeah.
Oh, that being said, why don't we take some callers,
That
Charlie?
Sounds good. Let's do it.
Hello. Who do we got on the line?
Hello there. It's Andrew.
Hey, Andrew. How are you?
Yeah, my mom. I'm just sick.
What are you up to?
All right, yeah, you hear me?
Yep.
What were you doing?
I'm just at home. Watching TV, actually. No, the weather's shit, so can't do much outside.
Ah. What do you do for a living?
I work in the TV.
You work in the TV?
So filming
stuff. How do you get inside that TV?
Filming television. I don't know what's inside, but I just know how to use it.
So, like, you're a producer, you're a audio technician. What do you do?
Camera work and lighting.
Nice. That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
What do you think about the writer's strike?
Yeah, it's kind of causing some problems for us.
Is that why you're sitting at home on a Monday?
Pretty much, yeah. It's been a few Mondays, a few Tuesdays as well.
Okay.
Wow. Where are you living? Where are you calling in from?
I am outside of Chicago, the suburbs.
Ah, okay. Which one?
I'm, East Dundee.
East Dundee. Which street? Did you just burp, Miles?
I'm along the Fox River.
Oh, you're along the Fox River?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, why don't you belly up to the bar with us since you don't got anything else going on and tell us what's on your mind.
Yeah, let me go grab a beer.
Yeah, get yourself a beer.
There we go.
Yeah, we got one too.
Yeah,
Liney's. Oh, Liney's. What do you got there? Liney's original light summer shandy.
It's a juicy peach. It's the
wife's
beer.
Oh, juicy peach. It's nice.
It's pretty good.
It's the wife's beer.
It's the wife's beer?
Wife's beer.
Hey, they're good.
I mean, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, if you're judging me, I'm...
No one's judging you. We're just thinking of a peach emoji right now.
All right, what's on your mind now that you got something to wet the whistle? What do you got?
So, I bought a boat recently. Been going out.
Congratulations.
That is a big freaking day. Good for you.
The three best days in a man's life. Day he gets married, the day he has his children, and then when he buys a boat.
And then the day he sells the boat. Now, what kind of boat? Did you get a speedboat? Did you get a pontoon? What'd you get? Give us the lay of the land.
Still a 18-foot bass boat.
Yeah. Nice. How many horse on that, engine?
So she runs.
How many horsepower?
Mercury 150.
Merc 150.
150.
That'll get cruising. The job done.
Wow.
That's got some ponies, as they'd say in the car community.
That's a nice piece of equipment.
Along with that, yeah.
Yeah. Along with
it
that,
burns a lot of gasoline.
Burns a lot of gas, yeah. 150 horse. Yep.
Yeah. So I'm fine paying for the gasoline, but how do I nicely tell my buddies that when they come, they have to bring the beer and the ice and the sandwiches. Okay. I'll pay for the gas, but I can't be paying for all the beer. That's their job.
Okay, well, this is easy. You just start, you bark orders, right? You're in a group chat with them. And if you make it a group thing, right, then no one thinks anything of it, right? If me, you, and Charlie were in a group chat and I had the gas in the boat, I go, Charlie, you're on sandwich duty. You're on beer duty. I'll bring a cooler. All you need to do is bring the beer and the ice. I'll bring the cooler. I'll bring that. It'll be fun. We'll go out on the lake. Blah, 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 blah. Boom. That doesn't sound like, oh, he's making me do all this stuff. It's more of a, we're doing this together kind of potluck style.
Yeah. I like that a lot. Now, if you did do that with them, would they, what would they say?
I mean, I think they say, like, yeah, sure.
Oh,
but
yeah,
then,
those
like,
kind of friends.
They leave the house late. They only bring, like, a six-pack. Like, they don't bring enough of the beer. Enough. Like, they'll show up with some beer, but, like,
well, that's because you're drinking that expensive Leinenkugels, you know? You got to go with something a little more affordable.
Oh, I see how it is, Miles. Miles is over here taking shots. Okay.
There's quite a few bush cans on the boat.
Okay.
So, are your friends broke or are they cheap?
I say cheap. Yeah, they're cheap.
Okay, so they have some money. They just don't want to spend it on communal activities.
Exactly.
And are you afraid if you make them spend the money that they won't come out?
No, I'm not worried about telling them. I'm just like, what's the correct Midwestern way to do it without them having any hard feelings?
Yeah.
Well, I think that the way you do it, because the Midwest way to do it is by not actually confronting them to their face.
By just doing all of it yourself.
Either doing it, number one, you do it all yourself. And if you're still not happy with that, then what you're going to do is you're just going to, after the trip, this is big, you're just going to send them a Venmo request for whatever money you think is worth it, you know?
That is the most passive way possible. Also, call in a podcast to ask how to tell them to do it. You know, yeah, there's not a lot of directness going on in the Midwest. It's a lot of roundabout kind of ways, A lot of passive money gathering going on at the end. Have you always like stocked the boat in the past though, and stocked the gas, filled the gas?
Well, I've only had it like a few months now, so it's only been out.
He sees this as being a potential future issue, and he's got to nip it in the bud, is I think what's happening.
Okay,
here.
Okay.
Another thing you could do too.
Yeah, turn that up.
Yeah. Well, okay. Here's a good move too. To make you look even better, just say that you had something come up and you're running late. And so if someone could swing by the liquor store or swing by the grocery store to pick up some food and beers because you weren't able to get there, you were trying to, you did everything you could to get there, but you just can't this time. And then they then put it on them, and it looks like you're doing this valiant effort to go above and beyond for them, but they end up just buying it anyways.
Yeah, make them think of they're saving the day. Like, man, if you picked up two cases, specifically two cases, that would save the day. Then they would probably feel good about saving the day, right?
Yeah, but the problem might be is they sound pretty cheap. Is after you guys go out in the water and you get home, they may send you a Venmo request.
Oh, well, then they just will never come back out again. So. Yeah.
What do you think of that, Charlie?
I mean, I'm thinking that that is pretty good. I'm also trying to think what kind of person am I, you know, because a lot of people just space out and don't even think about it. It's like almost like some people go in with the philosophy of, oh, you invited me. This is your thing, you know. And then when I invite you to come over my house, I stock the beer. I got beer in the fridge.
Yeah.
You know, I'm paying for the heat. You
so
know?
I actually got into myself a little bit of a situation once where I had some friends that wanted me to come out on a boat, and they always got booze, right? And so I actually was running late, and so it became the conundrum. They were already waiting for me at the dock.
Oh.
And I still had yet to go to the liquor store, so I had to make the tough decision between... And I, you know what? It wasn't a tough decision. I learned a lesson that day. I thought, you know what? To be courtesy of them, I'll bum a few beers off of them. They're good friends. You know, they don't seem like it's going to be an issue. They think they'd rather spend more time on the water than wait for me to go to the liquor store. And boy, oh boy, was I wrong. And in true Midwest fashion, they didn't say anything at the time. And of course, I bummed a few beers. But every now and again, there's a snarky comment about, oh, well, Miles doesn't bring any beer when he comes over, even though I do every other single time. I always make sure when we're at a bar to pick up certain tabs or beers or whatever. I'm trying to do my penance for that one bad deed that I did. But I learned a tough lesson that day that you always go for the beer. People don't care about their time. They care about how much beer you bring.
Mm-hmm. And people never remember the time you did bring beer, but they will never forget the time you didn't.
Put that on like a sign to put above the bar somewhere.
Seriously.
Well, so I'm still...
I'll put it on the boat trailer, yeah.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah.
So is there... That'd be the name of the boat. Is there an acceptable amount of time where you can leave your buddy at the ramp? Where if he's an hour late, do you just leave him behind?
Well, is he getting beer or not getting beer? Is the question.
Yeah,
you know?
How bad you want him on that boat? What's he adding?
Okay, the other friend brought beer. So we got enough beer for two people, not three. Third guy, hour late. We don't need his beer. How long do you wait?
I think what you do is you leave as he's... So then when he shows up, then he has to wait for you guys to come pick him up. Because nothing feels lamer than standing on the end of a dock waiting for someone to pick you up. You just feel exposed out there. You feel like you just look like kind of a doofus.
You're a sitting duck.
You know? It's like showing up way too early to a social event, and you're kind of just... sitting there, you know, which is you and the host, and they're kind of wondering why'd you show up so early. But
you can't race back either, because then he won't learn his lesson. You have to be teaching lessons along the way here. So let him sit for a minute.
Real.
Yeah.
I like that. It's a good idea. It's going to completely change my summer. Make it a whole lot better, this advice.
Yeah, and I think you got to start with the subtle comments like my buddies did. Because it actually, I lie awake at night sometimes thinking about that time I didn't bring the beer.
Yeah, I've never seen you so concerned about what somebody else thought about you until this moment.
It
right
was,
now.
I lie awake and they still once in a while whip that out on me. And it doesn't have to be super mean. It's just, you know, maybe you're at the bar and you're like, oh, don't worry, I'll get it. You know, just like we're on the boat.
Now, there is
stuff like that.
There are certain situations, too, where like some people just don't have the money. And in that case, you can earn your keep on a boat. I think you can be the anchor guy.
Yeah. If let's say you're in a situation where you're real broke, which is fine.
Been there.
We've all been there. But you gotta put yourself to work once you get on that boat. Even if you don't have to man any ropes, just have a rope in your hand.
Yep.
You know, I don't know what you need the rope for.
Show up with a rope, at least.
Have a rope, be ready. Be the first person to always stand up, you know?
Yeah.
If you can just be vertical instead of horizontal on a boat, it always plays better. Looks like you're really active trying to help out.
Yep. Look at the horizon. See if there's anything floating that might ding the prop.
Yep.
Look for sandbars.
Ooh, yeah.
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 And check the buoys when you leave. Make sure you don't have buoys dangling outside the boat. You know, just be helpful. Also, know how to tie a proper boat knot, because you can be the guy to hop out and to tie the boat up.
Yeah.
You know, if you're that helpful of a guy, everyone's going to forget the fact that you took 12 of their beers.
Also, make sure that you're waving at every other boat go by to signal that you guys are a friendly boat. People really enjoy not having to be the one waving all the time. Yep. You know?
Be the one to initiate.
Yeah.
So if you are in a tough financial situation and you can't always bring a 30 rack of beer to the boat, at least earn your keep is what I think we're saying here.
Yeah.
Charlie.
If you do just those few things, it'll go a long way. You'll ride for free. You'll drink for free and you'll get invited back on that boat.
Man, I need myself a friend with a boat so I don't have to be that guy.
Yeah.
Just do that, actually.
Yeah.
It's even better.
Yeah, he's putting up for sale sign on his boat.
Yeah.
But that's cool, man. You got a fun summer ahead of you. You really do. You're going to be the most popular. You're going to...
You guys...
This is the most Midwest thing.
Miles, you got a boat? You guys have talked about it, right?
See, I am what you would call a smart person, and I don't have a boat. I just have friends with boats.
FWB.
Love it.
I go to my parents' cabin a lot. They got a boat, and I ain't buying a new one if that one's still working, you know? So
forget friends with benefits.
Exactly. Yeah.
We just want
parents
friends
with boats.
Parents with boats. PWB.
Yeah. But I'll own a boat.
Well, if you're ever down
point.
This way, around Chicago, we'll have to take you out because get some bass.
Yeah, we'll make sure to bring a lot of beer.
Yeah.
Love it.
What's your stance on having like a dolly or a two-wheel cart on the boat? Because that's what we're going to need to do with all the beer we're bringing.
Mm.
Is it, you know, like some people are like shoes off in the boat kind of rule? Do you have a rule against bringing a dolly or a two-wheel cart full of beer on the boat?
Well, I'm not really that good at catching fish yet, so I just use the live well as a cooler because I'm not putting any fish in the live well, so it's a cooler for beer.
I love that.
You're not even fishing out there, are you?
That's a benefit. So that's not why we're going.
His buddy shows up and he's like, "Guys, I forgot the rods." We're like, "We don't care about that. Did you bring the beer?" All right, man. Well, I hope that helps a little bit. We gave you a few different angles to go at, and sounds like you're gonna have a fun summer.
Appreciate it. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, right. Appreciate you calling.
Have a good one. Still thinking about that.
I can tell. It's really gnawing at you.
It's just because I also know other people that do that, and I don't want to be in the same category. And, you know, it's one of those lessons you hopefully only have to learn once.
Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking, like, geez, have I ever done that? And if you have to be the guy thinking, geez, have I ever done that? You're probably the guy that's done that. I know I've shown up late. For sure.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I mean, I've never shown up on time. And, I probably forgot or brought insufficient booze.
It's like on the superhero or supervillain origin story. That's my You Betcha guy origin story. That's the moment I decided I was, you know, going to be the Bush Light guy, you know. The
guy with endless Bush Light supply.
Basically.
It had a traumatic experience for you. You know who I, who's kind of annoying is a guy who just brings a six pack and it's like some of the thickest beer that only that guy wants to drink, you know?
Yeah, it's like if you're going to bring beer that only you want to drink, that's fine, but you got to bring at least something else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and or at least bring 12 and pretend that someone else is going to drink those.
Yeah.
You know?
I would love to do an experiment one time, just show up with like the thickest IPA somewhere and just... You do the thing where you just start throwing them to people because they're not going to, you can't throw it back. Yeah. You know, like once you catch a beer, you can't just be like, I don't want this and whip it back at them. So then they have to at least drink some of it and then just scan and see everyone's faces. Oh God, I bet he hates that. I bet he's gagging on the inside.
But with an IPA, like if you are going for the full commitment of taking a sip, you at least know as bad as it tastes, it's got at least that much alcohol.
Yeah, it's got more alcohol.
Yeah, you're like, well, at least I'm going to get messed up. I'm going to wake up with the heat sweats at 3 a.m., you know? You guys ever get that, you know?
I mean, are you kidding me? I get the meat sweats in the middle of the day.
Yeah, it's just how it goes.
Charlie gets heat sweats. I get meat sweats.
I get heat sweats, dude. I can't drink anymore. I can't do it. Like, I drink a certain amount of beers at night. 3 a.m. just waking up. I'm like a freaking, I'm radiating, dude.
Yeah, you're old. I think you just stated that you're old.
I'm old.
I'm trying to catch you. Oh, so,
man.
All right, should we take another caller?
Yeah, let's do it. Welcome to the Bellied Up Podcast. Who do we got on the line?
This is Brinson.
What's up, my guy? How you doing? Brinson, you said?
Yeah, it's like Branson, Missouri, but with an I instead of an A.
Brinson. Branson.
Yeah, with an I. Yeah.
It's like Cranston. Freda Felcher.
Kind of, but there's no T. So Cranston, you know?
What's going on, man?
Nothing much. I'm just a former Hoosier turned Florida man. Ooh. And we're expecting our first kid in November. My wife and I, and
congrats on the sex.
How do I,
congrats on the sex.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you did
it. Very good. Yeah, at least once. Confirmed.
Confirmed one time sex haver.
Good for you.
Yep. Almost as good as Ryan the t-shirt guy. He's got me beat.
Well, Tyler's got 8 kids, but. Well, what's on your mind? Why don't you belly up to the bar with us? Tell us what's going on.
I ended up marrying my wife, but she lived in Florida her whole life, and she fell for a nice fuzzy-haired white guy, and somehow, but you know, we're here and living in Florida. But there's certain things that I just can't teach, like, you know, the Midwest goodbye. How do I teach this to my kids, like, without them getting lost in, you know, the whole Florida man antics, like wrestling alligators?
Well, here's my first question. Let's flip it around here. How do people from Florida say goodbye?
Floridian, in case you were wondering.
I think they just get drunk and pass out on the couch, if I'm being honest.
They get drunk and pass out on the couch? Yeah, well, I mean, I guess
that happens
that's
here,
very,
too.
I mean, that's also very similar to the Midwest goodbye, I guess.
So what let's see here.
Well, I think let's not... I mean, the Midwest goodbye, that's like some advanced stuff. And you're talking about having a kid. I mean, we got to talk about we got to start with the foundations of the Midwest. Yeah. You don't got to jump right into the Midwest goodbye. It's a baby for cripe's sake.
Baby's got to learn how to say ope first.
Yeah. That should be the first thing. No mama.
We got to call off or people be bumping into each other enough. So they'll get it right out of the gate.
Yeah. No mom, no dad is the first word. It should be ope. Should be your baby's first word. I also think another way that you can instill the Midwest lifestyle in your baby is maybe just taking a half a ranch packet and just pouring it in the bottle, mixing that up, and you know,
we're
ranch.
Talking about Hidden Valley, or what kind of brand are we talking?
It doesn't matter. It's a baby. Their taste buds are still figuring it out. They're not going to know the good stuff from the bad stuff. So whatever's cheapest, I think, is probably best.
Yeah. Just mix it right in there.
That's a lot coming from the California.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's just, it's kind of like fruits and vegetables. You just got to get them in. You just, doesn't matter if you mix broccoli in with your brownies or anything like that. You just get the greens in, get the ranch in the baby bottle.
And only go for walks in the rain, just so they're used to going home when you guys go home.
It rains plenty here, so I think they'll get plenty used to that.
Okay, well, that's good. What part of Florida are you in, did you say?
St. Pete, like the Tampa area.
Oh, yeah. See, the thing about Florida is it's basically Midwest South. A lot of people from the Midwest, a lot of snowbirds find their way down there. So you're going to want to find yourself your various bars. Your Hoosier bar, you said you're a Hoosier. You want to find that bar. You want them to become a Packers fan if they, you know, have any real interest in seeing their football team succeed. I don't want to hear any jokes about the Packers team this year. But, you know, there are a lot of Midwest folks down there. Just start ingraining, you know, meeting them. Get surround him with the Midwest people.
Well, you did a comedy show in Florida, didn't you, Charlie?
I did. Naples. I did it in Naples and Orlando and Tampa in each place and Miami. Ton of Midwest people in all those places.
So, yeah, you got to get a friend group around this kid that also is maybe from the Midwest is, I think, what would be a good move to do.
So I got a good answer for that. Me and the buddies, we play video games, but one of them's got a lake house up on Lake Michigan that we went to last 4th of July. So I plan on keeping that tradition going with
That's
them.
A great start. So I also think if you can find a Midwest-only daycare, that would also be great.
Ooh.
You know?
They don't have those, but they should start
They should start them,
Maybe
yeah.
you should start that.
Yeah, you have to have some sort of, one of your parents has to be from the Midwest, or otherwise you can't go to that daycare.
And lunchtime is only brats.
What kind of brats, though? Are we talking like Italian sausages? Are we talking like a Chicago-style brat? It makes a huge difference.
Hey, he's from the Midwest.
Yeah. He's not lying.
He's asking the right questions. He is a straight shooter, I can tell you that
much. Yeah, he is. You know,
if we wanted to get Portillo's and settle with like that, it's okay, but it's not as good as like a good butcher getting you a good
Oh, product. Man. Wow, this guy knows his stuff. You know,
I think you're overthinking it. I think that from what we've heard from him today, this kid is, I don't think you have to worry about instilling anything. I think it's going to be, he's going to learn some Midwest values from you.
Okay, that'll be good. The problem is the wife is New York Italian, and so we got to try to, like, win over that. It's a strong culture.
Oh, man. Yeah, yeah. And New York Italians, they're a little bit more demanding than Midwest people.
But here's the thing is you're going to be the shoulder to cry on growing up, right? Your wife, I don't want to put anyone in a box, but probably going to get a little bit more short-tempered or heated than you would in a scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid's going to be like, wow, dad, mom just went off the rails about a charcuterie board and sandwich meats. I don't know what happened. You know, it's just gabagool. And then he's going to come to you and go, Ted, what's going on? And then that's when you just instill the Midwest niceness in them.
Yeah, your first words are going to have to be "Ope, sorry," because your wife's probably going to get to him first with the first words, which is going to be "F you." So after he says that to his teacher, he's going to have to come in hot with an "Ope, sorry." After that,
the rest of your life, you're going to be just repairing things, just repairing the damage that happens.
Yeah, the Midwestness is just the Band-Aids for the New York Italian.
Yeah, they do have good food, though, I will admit. And the Catholics make just as many kids. It's kind of impressive.
Are you both Catholic?
Actually, no. I grew up Pentecostal. She grew up Catholic. So it's all over the place.
Oh, wow. Pentecostal. I don't even know what the hell that is.
I've never heard that in my life.
I mean, I've heard of it. I just don't know what it is.
I've never heard of that in my life.
Like the Pentecost?
It's closer to like charismatic type of thing.
Charismatic? Oh, is it like...
I've never heard of that either. What?
Like what is the... Do you guys have a pastor? Do you have a priest? How does that work?
He's not a pastor. Yeah, my dad's actually a pastor.
So. Oh, your dad's a pastor. So
is it Christian though?
Oh yeah, it's Christian. Oh. Yeah, Pentecost. Your mom's gonna be so upset when she listens.
Well, no, I know.
I don't think you did. I don't think you did. Me and your mom are gonna have a talk after this.
That's fine.
Yeah,
honestly.
So, anyways, Pentecostal. Is that like where you get like really into it and you like, you know, you kind of like. It's a lot of rah-rah stuff.
Yeah, how much eyes closed, hands in the air singing goes on at the service?
Good question.
We're talking carrying a 75-inch TV with, like, pepper spray in your eyes.
Oh, just the visual anguish. Great. Yeah. It's a great visual. Oh, our God is an awesome God. He reigns. You got to do the hands and the eyes.
Have Sam Breen and the
That song was after me. I don't even know that song.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I'm going to have a talk with your mom.
Yeah, I know.
I was early 2000s. I was only like a baby during that time.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, geez.
Now you're having a baby.
I know, it's crazy.
You were born in the early 2000s, and you were having a kid before Charlie and I did.
I don't want that late 2000s slander, okay?
Okay.
98, we're still 90s, baby.
So you're 24.
We're not that young.
You 24?
Oh, yep. And 25 here soon.
Wow, and you got one in the oven already.
Bun in the oven.
Good for you. Is she 25? 24?
She's 24 as well.
Wow, where'd you guys meet?
We met in college.
You met in college?
In college. Went to a Christian college. Both of us had scholarships. And then graduated and didn't talk to each other for a few years. And then got back together and got married when COVID was nice and sick.
Did you guys go to the... go to the scholarship reunion? Is that where you met? Why'd you have to slip that in there? You're making both me and Miles feel bad about ourselves.
Yeah, what the hell?
Because we couldn't afford private college without it.
Oh, I see.
I don't think anyone can.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Yeah. What's tell us how you guys got reunited. Was it you slid into our DMs or what?
A little bit, but the other way around, though. I was working for a church up in Jacksonville, and she was an English teacher to little kids in Honduras. So she speaks Spanish and English. And when COVID hit and she had to go back to the U.S., she saw that I was back in Florida because I had to move back up to Indiana with family after college because, you know, it's hard finding a job, all that stuff. But yeah, she DM'd me on Instagram to see what was going on. And
wow.
I was like, oh, it's that hot girl from my English class in college. Let's go.
Okay. Well, you guys are thoroughly making me and Charlie feel like pieces of shit.
Yeah.
Because you're only 24 and it sounds like she's curing cancer and you're doing God's work out there. And it's like this whole thing. And me and Charlie are just two 30 plus year old guys belly up to a bar on a Monday.
Well, make it feel better. I was working at Chipotle for most of those years, so
okay. Still better than working concrete, what I was doing before this, so
you're doing a heck of a job is what we're trying to say.
Yeah, we're not worried about your kid at all. Your kid's gonna be in good hands.
Yeah. And you had sex.
Well, thank you.
Good for you.
Last question I have for you. How are you going to raise the kid? Catholic or
Pentecostal?
Pentagon or
it's
Catholic?
Pentecostal. His dad is the
Pentagonal.
Pastor.
Is this kid going to have five sides or is he going to be Catholic?
So we actually ended up, because that's something you got to figure out when you're married. I mean, Charlie's got plenty of experience with arguments. So, you know, you got to find a church that you like together. So we're at a non-denominational church. That we ended up liking.
Why don't you meet me in the middle is what you guys said.
Pretty much, because at the end of the day, most Christians believe 99% of the same stuff, just the 1% we all get caught up in.
You know what? God.
Kids got it together.
I can't wait. You're going to be a good dad.
Yeah, and you're asking the right questions.
That's cool.
So
I already got a 10x10 tent and cooler for the beach as well, so the kid's going to be set.
Yeah, he is.
You are set, man. Just remember, sorry, before mom and dad, sorry.
Well, I think that'll be good.
Sounds good, man. Well, congratulations again. And you're going to be a good dad. And thanks for calling into the pod.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yep. Tell your wife we says hi. And your dad.
I'll tell your folks we says hi, too.
Okay, we'll do.
I'm sure my dad will appreciate it. All right, bye.
Awesome. See you now.
What a good guy.
Good dude. Asking all the right questions. You know, I think that kid's going to grow up to be just fine.
What if his wife is just the sweetest lady? I made her seem out to be Tony Soprano. You know,
he did. He said Italian, New York, you know, yeah. Tony Soprano, New Jersey, you know, but.
Same church, different pew.
Same church, different pew. Hey, and Pentagonal, you know. I don't know.
What actually is it?
Pentecostal.
I've never heard of that.
I love this visual, though. It's so good.
Holding the 75-inch TV above your head and pepper spray in the eyes.
Oh, man.
Good guy. Let's take another one. Charlie.
Miles.
It's May.
It is May.
You know what goes great in May? You know what May's good for?
Booze.
Flowers. And Tippecow. You know, if you're doing your garden, starting to get it rolling in May.
Yeah.
I've never done a garden, but I imagine if you were to do it.
Never done a garden? Well, one day you're going to find a garden that you really love, and you two are going to decide to spend the rest of your lives together. And then on that day, you will do a garden.
Well, I think that has happened. So maybe I am a gardener. But regardless, you know what makes the garden grow?
What's that, Miles?
Booze. Because you plant the stuff, and then you just got to wait. And so no better way to waste time gardening than with Tippecow.
Hey.
Nothing goes better on a hot, cool day than a nice ice-cold glass of Tippecow. So, Charlie, cheers to your garden. Cheers to your garden success. I know you're going to need it.
Thank you.
And tip it on back.
Tip it on back with Tippecow. Heck yeah. Delicious. Real milk from Wisconsin.
Yep. Wisconsin counts. Guys, if you're interested in Charlie and I coming to your local small town bar to belly on up and do our podcast, we have a submission form now, so you can submit your bar and maybe we just might show up. So if you go to our Instagram page at Bellied Up Pod, in the description, the profile, the link in bio, click on the link, submit your bar.
Welcome to the Bellied Up Podcast. Who we got on the line?
My name's Hart.
What?
Hello?
Hey. What's your name?
Hello. My name's Hunter.
Hunter.
What? Are you talking to us in a bathroom? What's going on?
Oh, there you go. You were on speakerphone, weren't you?
Oh, okay.
It sounded like you were.
No, I was on the.
You were what?
I was on the Bluetooth earbud.
Oh, the Bluetooth. Yeah.
Yeah. We got to switch over to the other one, but you're sounding.
No, they don't work all that well.
Yeah, you're coming in good now, though. So, Hunter, why don't you belly up to the bar with us? Tell us what's on your mind. What's going on?
Well, I got a little debacle here. So, I just turned 21 a few weeks ago.
Congratulations.
Happy late birthday.
I got sent out of town on a. Thank you. So I got sent out here on a work trip. I'm working right now. And after all our shifts, I got to somehow keep up with the other coworkers at the bar. And I'm trying to figure out how to approach this. I'm trying to learn some bar etiquette.
Yep.
So I don't, what do I do? Do I just start hammering them down?
Let's start with what you're having trouble with right now. What's kind of your biggest hang up? What's the biggest thing in your mind that's been tough for you to figure out?
I can't keep up with them. The other guys on the site, they're cranking down 12 beers or so after a hard day's work. I'm just over here drinking like one or two and I'm gone.
So I think the question you're looking to ask is how do you up your tolerance now that you started drinking? And the answer is you just keep drinking is really how you do that.
Yeah.
Even though I got work in the morning.
Well, no, even at work if you need to. I mean, you got to bump your numbers up.
Even at work?
Yeah, I think that's what's going to have to happen.
Well, that advice could
Well, what do you recommend? Drink?
I'm kidding. Do not drink on the job. I forget he's really young. He might.
Here's what you got to remember, though. Here's what you got to remember.
So I should put this away?
Yeah, put it away. Actually, wait. It's 3 o'clock.
Yeah, you're
It's
good.
5 o'clock on the East Coast, or somewhere in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
But what you do want to remember is you don't want to catch them too quick, because you got to think about the financial implications of that. Okay. You can't consistently go to the bar and buy 12 beers and have that be a lasting thing. So think about your wallet, also your liver, but most.
Well, it's company paid for.
Oh. Yeah. Well, then get your liver.
Well, so here, I'm gonna frame it in something so you can then understand your coworkers more, okay? So I want you to close your eyes and put yourself in your coworker's shoes. What do you guys do for a living? What's your guys' job?
I'm a finished carpenter.
Okay.
He's
So He's I'm just going to go out on a limb and say maybe some of these guys have been doing this for 10 years, 15, 20 years. And I hate to break it to you, but life is going to beat you down. And it sounds like your coworkers have been beaten down a little bit, gone through the ringer. I'm from Fargo. We probably would say they've been through the wood chipper. Okay, and
been through the wood chipper.
Yeah, and when you've been through the old wood chipper, you don't have many options other than to, you know, take the edge off of the end of the day by having a couple 10 to 12 beers, and makes you feel better about how life's beating you down.
Huh. So you're saying they got to put in a lot more time.
Well, they're just more seasoned than you are, because they go, well, you're like, I got to work in the morning. And they go, I got to have 10 to 12 beers tonight because I got to work in the morning. And you're like, I can only have 1 to 2 beers because I got to work in the morning. And at some point along the way, you're going to flip-flop and be just like them.
At some point, you're working to drink. At other point, you're drinking to work. But the...
I mean... Not wrong, Charles.
So is it just the number of bars, or are you confused by some of the bar etiquette? It sounds like you're not very familiar with a bar, and the first bar you might have gone into is when you turned 21. Is that the case?
Legally, yeah.
Okay, so you've been in bars before.
Today.
What about the etiquette are you confused about?
Like, how do I call a bartender? Like, is there a way, you know, like, hey, I need a refill? Like,
okay.
Dude, do I do that? Hey, like, how do I not seem rude?
So, yeah, so you haven't...
You know, put my cup up, like...
Well, there's several ways to call a bartender.
I don't
want to
offend a bartender.
No, that's a very good question.
Go ahead, Charlie. How do you call a bartender over to get you a drink?
Okay. You want to make quick eye contact, give a smile, and say whenever you have a moment. That would be good.
Yeah. If you pair a visual move with a very polite audio words move, it's a very good way to do it, Charlie.
Yeah. What you don't want to do is get up there and start tapping your card like an asshole.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's what you don't want to do, because that's a surefire way to get ignored in a busy bar.
And another good way to do it is if you know you're going to be there for a few hours and you order one beer, just slap a 20 on the table when you pay for it. And there may be bartenders that go, well, I can't be bought like that. Yes, they can.
Oh, yeah.
And if you give them a big tip up front.
Oh, they always can?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They'll remember you.
And it's like if your boss tells you you're going to like, hey, do you want a $2 an hour raise? Are you going to say no to that? Or are you going to be like, yeah, same thing. So you're going to want to drop a 20 down first, because you're going to, you know, it's basically you're not. Some people view it as, oh, you're over tipping. But in reality, you're buying the convenience of the bartender liking you and giving you priority over other people in the bar. But you don't have to do it in a douchey way. You can do it in just like a casual, throw a 20 down, walk away.
Very subtle. Fold it like you're putting money in the basket at church. You know, the right hand should not know what the left hand is doing. That's in the Bible somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Or did I read that?
I think I'm getting it now.
What's that? Yeah, you see that? You see how that's done?
I think I've seen it on a bathroom wall, but
there you go.
Okay.
Yeah. So those are just a couple tips. But is there anything else about the dynamic that confuses you inside a bar?
No, I think I'm getting it a little bit. Every single day they've been going to the bar, I've been joining them. So I've been slowly learning, but I feel like I need a little extra.
Well, I mean, honestly, if we had the money, money runs the world. So if you buy your coworkers drinks, if you give good tips to the bartender, your coworkers are going to like you. The bartenders are going to like you. And it may seem like you're wasting money on that, but having coworkers that like you goes a long way.
Yeah. And you're also wasting a lot of money on it.
But yeah.
I don't know.
Just
are you
pour
going,
all of my money into it?
Are you going to the bar every single day after work?
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's not, is that sustainable?
He's 21 years old. It's absolutely sustainable for a 21 year old to be able to go to the bar every night.
Well,
you see, I'm working out of town. They got me living in a hotel. So what's there to do besides work 14 hours and then go to the bar?
Okay. Exactly. It sounds like you're actually living the dream.
And so, you know what? I'm just getting all upset because if I have a certain number of beers at my age, I wake up with the heat sweats, you know?
Well, that's because you haven't been beaten down like his coworkers have.
I've been.
You gotta grab a hammer, Charlie.
I guess so. I got lose the microphone, pick up a hammer. I guess that's it.
Yeah, you'll be drinking every day.
Yeah. It's time to grow up. It's time to grow up.
It's time to grow up. You know what? That's true.
You know what, Charlie?
These hands are too soft.
I'm on his side. It is time for you to grow up. I'm so sick of you acting like a kid. Me and this 21 year old kid are sick of you acting like a child.
Why even bother?
That's what all of his coworkers say. They say that every time they walk into the bar, they get to the threshold, the door of the bar, and they go, I should go home because I got to work in the morning. And then they go, why even bother?
I'll just have a couple and go home. 12 beers later.
Yeah.
They're just showing into work, just overheating.
So when I was in college, my dad had some out-of-town trips for his construction crew.
Yeah.
And they treated that like this, like they went to Disney World. Like if they were a kid and they went to Disney World, it's like this is the adult version of going to Disney World is having an out-of-town job because everything's paid for and their families aren't with them, so they can just drink for like 2 weeks straight and not worry about a thing.
Yeah, that's true. It is straight up. Like,
you know, that's what I thought. I thought coming down here, it'd be, you know, we're serious. We're, you know, just working a ton. But no, everyone's just letting loose.
Yeah, because they don't have any other responsibilities.
Yeah, I didn't understand the full context of this situation, apparently. Are you working right now?
Yep.
What are you doing?
Well, can you hear this?
It sounds echoey. It sounds like you're an empty room putting the trim on.
He's got a nail gun, I think. Is that a nail
gun?
That was a nail gun. Dude, I got a trained ear for this shit.
I didn't even hear what he was doing.
I know. You got to really
be paying
attention.
Was I talking over it? Do it again.
Wait, Charlie, pay attention.
Yeah, it's a nail gun, all right. Are you paying attention?
All of a sudden, you just hear in the background, ah, son of a bitch. Watch where you're aiming that.
It already happened. There's no one else here, so it's just me.
Nice.
The rest of them are at the bar.
Yeah. He's doing their job.
They're already at the bar. Yeah.
Ah, that's great.
Pretty much.
Well, honestly, you're in the wrong profession if you don't want to go to the bar and drink on road trips. You know, I think that you might just want to get a different job.
What kind of hotel are you guys staying at?
Hilton? No, not a Hilton.
I was like,
American Inn.
Yeah. American Inn sounds about right.
Yeah, there you go.
American Inn in Windom, Minnesota.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it looks like we're staying at the Ritz-Carlton. No.
It's the Super 8.
I'm looking out the window. I can see it from here. I'm trying to read the sign. Can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, you definitely aren't at a Hilton. I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
Well, but,
we're balling out.
Good for you guys.
You ordering like room service too on the company card or what?
You think they have room service at American?
No, not that far. No. But they do have a bar at the hotel.
Oh, nice. Is that where you're? Go ahead. Nope. After you, I insist.
Double bar action. I was going out to the bar to get food, then coming back and drinking beer at another bar.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's great. Just take a few steps. I'm in my room.
Ending your night at the American.
Well, you could also do. So if you are really concerned about your work performance and being hungover and stuff like that, you just got to eventually perfect what my uncle has, and you just got to perfect the Irish goodbye. You got to learn how to do the fade, right? You know, it looks like you're going to the bathroom, and right at the last second when no one's looking, you dip to the elevator and you go up to your room. I think you just got to learn that move. Just the, you don't give
me. I got a little different version.
What's that?
What is it?
Well, I got a little different version of the Irish. It's kind of like an Irish goodbye. I just stand up, wave to everybody, say goodbye, and run.
Yeah, I mean, that works, too.
It's kind of like a formal goodbye, but instead of, you know, saying goodbye to everyone or, you know, it's just my way out of the Midwest goodbye. I don't like.
Yeah, you just say, hey, guys, see ya. Make sure you get it.
Yep, later. And then I run to the elevator.
Yeah, just try not even acknowledging you're leaving. Just go to the elevator, and I think you'll find what you can. Oh, this is great. So you do that, and then the next day they're like, what happened to you? You were the one there once, and then you're gone. Did you Irish? You go, man, I had, I want to say, 22 beers last night, and I was just too drunk. I just ended up, and just say, like, yeah, I just woke up in all my clothes. You know, I don't even know what happened, so. Wild night, though, right, guys? Even though you had two beers, they're not going to know.
That's true. Just exaggerate. They'll give you a lot more cred.
So there we go.
I like where this was going.
All right. Well, you got to get back to work.
Well, I got a buy-sell trade.
Oh, good.
Throw it in here. What do you got? Yeah.
He's got a live
nail
extra
gun.
Trim.
Nail gun.
Well, let me get a few. Bye.
What the fuck?
Oh, he hung up.
He did the goodbye.
Yeah.
Did you hear the poof, poof, poof? What? There's no way.
Yeah, so he just did his version of the Irish goodbye there. If he's listening to this now, I got some major criticisms for it. It leaves a bad taste in everyone's mouth.
I honestly like the move.
The energy's great.
Energy's great.
But the feeling that I now have about him is a little less to be desired. So I think he just needs to go with the regular Irish goodbye.
Did you hear, if we rewound the tape and listen again, he goes, hey, like, what do you think what do you think he was shooting at that point? You know, I hope it wasn't the actual trim.
Oh, I don't know. It doesn't matter. But. He's just shooting it into a 2x4. So he's a framer, right? And he's a carpenter. Probably just a stud somewhere. But we just got hung up on. That was the first time we got hung up on.
That and 21-year-old kid.
Yeah. I mean,
is that really the first time we've been hung up on?
Yeah. Can you believe that?
Yeah. Now
What episode would this be, Jared, or close to?
Like around 50,
somewhere 50
in there.
Some episodes it took us to get hung up on
by some
we did it.
By some kid who doesn't even know how to drink yet.
Yeah, he literally some lightweight kid hung up on us.
Yeah, he just got sick of talking to us.
Yeah, he did. That has happened. We haven't been hung up on yet though. I mean, he did give us a demonstration of his move. I'm 50-50 on it, I think.
I liked it initially, but now that you bring these other things to light, I'm starting to rethink it. Yeah. You know, I'll just need some time with this one. I've got abandonment issues. Yeah. My dog ran away once.
Feel that. All right. Well, is that it, Jared? That's all of them. What a way to end the episode. God, yeah. What the hell? Let's call him back. Also, let's find out where he works. Let's call his boss. So he's drinking on the job.
Well, Miles, another great episode of the Bellied Up Podcast.
It really was, Charlie.
Yeah. It was nice to really do it with you. It.
Yeah.
It was good.
Well, see you guys.
Drop the mic.